You're listening to Messages of Grace. Grace Baptist Church Kelowna exists to bring glory to God through lives transformed by the gospel as we follow Jesus together as his disciples, family, servants, and witnesses. Now for today's message.
Well, welcome again, and it's good to be together this morning. And I'm excited that we can return to our study of the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And we're going to jump right in. And perhaps you recall from last Sunday, we looked at the 6 days of creation. Day 1, 2, and 3, we saw that God formed the earth. In day 4, 5, and 6, God filled the earth. And then on day 7, God finishes. God finished creating. Creating a magnificent world that was ready to be occupied and enjoyed by humanity. But there is a significant interlude that follows. It is as though God kind of hits a pause button at that point and intentionally inserts day 7, a very, very important day. And so let's read this morning from Genesis chapter 131. To right through Genesis 2:4. It's a shorter text for today. And I want to ask you to note how many times you see a reference to this phrase, the seventh day. How many times in this text will you discover or can count up a reference for the seventh day? Genesis 1:31. The chapter ends by saying, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day." Then chapter 2 begins, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." Host here is likely a reference to either all the things that were created, or more specifically, the celestial bodies, as in the sun, the moon, and the stars. Verse 2 says, "And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done." Verse 3, "So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, and because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." Verse 4 yet, which rounds up this section. Verse 4 says, "These are the generations." An interesting word. It appears, I believe, something like 13 times in the book of Genesis. Toldoth is the Hebrew word for generations. But here, it's best translated, I would think, as the account or the story. This is the account of the heavens, or the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens. So how many times did you catch a reference to this phrase, the seventh day? Three, okay. Somebody said five? Three, five. Well, three is the right answer, but five would work as well because if we would count in verse 3, it says, "and made it holy," it referring to the seventh day, because on it, on that seventh day, again, is a reference to the seventh day God rested. So five references to this idea of the seventh day in only two verses. Because of that, do you think that there is importance, that this is significant to recognize the seventh day? And we're going to explore today what and why this day matters, because it must matter if it is mentioned that many times in only two verses. But before we get into that, let's pause for prayer yet. Let's pray. Lord God, we're so thankful that we can come together today. We're thankful for your word that is so rich that we will never exhaust all of its treasures. And so we pray this morning that you, Holy Spirit, will instruct us, that you would open our eyes so that we might behold wondrous things from your word. not only to increase our knowledge, Lord, but our prayer is that your word and your truth would transform our hearts and our lives to the glory of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the things that you and I hear a lot, I would think, in our day is this yearning for rest. This yearning for rest. Whether you talk to moms with newborns who sleep during the day and then are wide awake at night, these moms, they need rest, right? We have some of them in our church family right now. Our daughter-in-law being one of them, as you heard. By the way, I'm very, very excited about grandson number two. But the good thing is I don't have to be up all night with Wyatt. My son and daughter-in-law get to do that. But people who have a lot going on often wish they could have rest, right? They long for rest. Moms who homeschool their kids and run them around to countless activities and then do the cooking and the cleaning and maybe even a little side job online. Or the dad who thought it was a good idea to start his own business. And he works 15-hour days and he still cannot pay the bills. He wants rest, right? Or the teacher who thought that teaching middle school kids who are going through puberty would be a good idea. Teachers need rest. Or the university students who signed up for first-year engineering and thought they could handle working a job on the side. A couple of boys in our family who tried that. Or the daughter who takes care of a terminally ill parent, and I know some of you have been in those shoes, and that can be very, very taxing. You never seem to get a rest. Or maybe the high school student who juggles music lessons and is on two sports teams and takes AP courses and is involved in church and has a part-time job at McDonald's and attempts to maintain a vibrant social life. There is this common refrain, isn't there, that we often hear. And we ourselves have probably said this, verbalized this at times as well. I could use a rest. I could use a rest. Are you here this morning and you're saying I could use a rest? Yeah. Some of you are not being honest this morning, I can tell. But Psychology Today ran an article a couple of years ago where the author identified 7 kinds of different rests that we as people need in order to function well. First one was physical rest, which includes sleep, mental rest, sensory rest, taking breaks from reels and scrolling and screens and lights and noise, emotional rest, which can be enhanced or diminished by the relationships that you have. You know what I mean by that. There's social rest, which is especially important for introverts, right? If you're an introvert this morning, you know you can't hang out with crowds all day long. There's spiritual rest that they mentioned, described as connecting with someone or something that is greater than yourself. And then the last one they mentioned was creative rest. For those who work in fields where they constantly have to create, they need to be creative in knowing how to stop creating, right? So creative rest was the last one. And this really brings us back to our study in the book of Genesis where God created, where in chapter 2 we are introduced to the subject matter of rest. Verse 2 said, and on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done and he rested. He rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. Verse 3, so God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Now, we have to understand that God resting and you and I resting is very, very different. It's a very different matter. God was not tired. God was not fatigued. God created effortlessly. God didn't have to lift a finger. He spoke creation into being. He merely used his words. God said, let there be light. God said, let there be an expanse. God said, let the waters be gathered. God said, let the earth sprout vegetation. You see, God's power is never, ever diminished in any way. God is omnipotent, meaning that God is all-powerful. He has unlimited power at his disposal. He has unlimited strength and energy. And every aspect of our universe is sustained by the power of God, as is your life and my life. So God never says, I could use a rest. He's never said that anywhere in the Bible. And yet God still rested on the seventh day. How do we understand this? Well, in ancient Near Eastern literature, even during the time of Moses, it's evident that a pagan deity of the nations around Israel, they speak there of these pagan gods resting in connection with the completion of a temple that people would build for them, for their God. So rest was not in any way exhaustion or due to exhaustion. Rest was acknowledging what had been made. That was the meaning at the time. Rest was enjoying the new dwelling place. And in the same way, God was acknowledging, he was enjoying the completion of his temple. God's dwelling place with man. Genesis chapter 1 is the account, in some sense, of God building a sanctuary for himself so that he can dwell with us, with mankind. We said earlier that God had finished creating a world that was now ready to be occupied and enjoyed by humanity. And yes, that's true, but I think we often believe that creation is all about us and is all for us. Well, that's not entirely true. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, all things have been created through him and for him. For him. Talking of Jesus Christ here. And so God, as he rests on the seventh day, he celebrates the completion of his temple on the seventh day by resting, by ceasing to work, yes, but mostly by enjoying what he has made. So why is day seven so significant? Why is it referred to five times in verses 2 and 3? And why did God bless this day and declare this day to be holy? Isn't that what it said? Verse 3, so God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. The reason is right here in this verse. It says there, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So the importance of day seven has something to do with this idea of resting. Incidentally, the word rest in the Hebrew vayishbot, which means to cease from work, shares the same root as does the Hebrew word for Shabbat or Sabbath. So the seventh day is significant not only in the context of creation, not only in the context of how that command for the Sabbath is given to Israel, but it has even far greater reaching implications for each one of us here this morning. You see that the theme of Sabbath rest is like a kind of a thread that runs through the entire Bible. And it is first seen here at the very beginning as God is pointing to more than just the fact that he ceased from his work, but he is setting the stage for a provision that was designed to be a blessing for you and for me and for all of humanity. And we can call it Sabbath rest. You know, the joyous rest of our God would first extend to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. I mean, they experienced something that you and I have not experienced, not quite in that way. they experience a unique kind of rest. Not by means of being unemployed, as we will see later in the chapter, God placed Adam in the garden, it says in verse 15 of chapter 2, to work it, to work the garden. So they weren't unemployed. Adam and Eve would though, experience a blessed peace in their state of innocence while living in unhindered closeness with God their Maker. It was must have been incredible. And in some sense, it was another kind of Sabbath rest. It was another rest and enjoyment they experienced. And so the Sabbath rest is created on the seventh day. It continues in the Garden of Eden. But then the Sabbath rest is soon corrupted by sin. And we're going to get to that in chapter 3. As Adam and Eve rebel against God, thereby losing this perfect peace, losing perfect rest, and this close relationship with God by the choices that they made on that fateful day. And you see, as we follow the Sabbath thread in the story of God's redemptive plan, we then see it appear again as the Sabbath commanded to the Israelites. That's where it pops up again. You know, after the fall and the flood and the Tower of Babel and the patriarchs and the captivity in Egypt and the Exodus, when Moses receives the word from the Lord saying in Exodus chapter 28 through 11, he says this. The Lord speaking, he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. And here's the rationale. It takes us back to creation. Why should they live like that? Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And so we see here that God used the example of his resting on the seventh day during creation. He used it to establish a principle of the Sabbath day rest for his people Israel. For one day during the week, they were to cease from doing any work. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about the Sabbath day command, who it applies to, when we should keep the Sabbath, when it should be observed. And there are basically four views that we find within the greater church. Have you ever studied that? Ever looked at the different arguments? We're not going to get into it too much this morning, but I'll just give you a quick rundown. There's this one view that the fourth command is for Christians today, and it must be observed on Saturday as the Jews observe it. Some people believe that, Seventh-day Adventists believe that, and others do too. But then there is the view that argues that since the resurrection of Jesus was on the first day of the week, and the early church observed Sunday for worship, that Christians should set aside Sunday for a Sabbath day of worship and should perhaps abstain from work on that day. Who's grown up with that view? Some of you? No, that's partly how I grew up in the church way back when. There's a third view that maintains that the Sabbath was given to Jews only. And they may quote verses like Exodus 31:17, which says it is a sign, the Sabbath is a sign between God and the Israelites. Or they quote Paul's words in Colossians 2:16. If you want to write that down, look it up at home. Or Romans 14:5, where Paul, in essence, he exempts Gentiles from having to observe the Sabbath command. And then there's a fourth view that suggests that the Sabbath is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who brings Sabbath rest to believers in the present, and one day it will be fulfilled completely in the future. And in that sense, the Sabbath day of the Old Testament is no longer binding for Christians today. Now, you can probably make a case for any of these four or all of them by pulling different scriptures together. I personally suggest that the example that God sets for us in creation provides a valuable blueprint. That's just my own personal opinion. I believe it's a good thing. It's an important thing for our lives and our growth and our spiritual and physical well-being that we set aside one day, designate one day a week to worship and to cease from our regular activities. Now, at the same time, I would caution us not to make this a legalistic rule, which some churches do. I don't think that jives with what we see in the New Testament. Because the goal of every believer, really, goes far beyond keeping one day to experience some sort of rest, but to experience this rest on a daily basis. We ought to live in the reality of Sabbath rest every day, every hour. And we certainly should look at every day as an opportunity to worship the Lord. So lots could be said about that. You go home, you wrestle with this, you come out wherever the Lord leads you. So far then, we have the Sabbath rest created, the Sabbath rest continued in the garden, the Sabbath rest corrupted by sin, and then the Sabbath commanded to Israel. And when you spend some time studying the Sabbath and its symbolism, you come to realize that the Sabbath points, it's far more than just ceasing from work. It really does point to Jesus, through whom the Sabbath rest becomes credible. Credible. When Jesus says something like this in Matthew 11, 28, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden or who are weary, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest." This goes far beyond stopping work on a Saturday or Sunday. This is a different quality of rest. "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," he said. "Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." It's not automatic, we learn here. We must be involved. We must make a move. We come to him. We must come to him. You see, Sabbath rest is experienced in relationship. It is experienced in dependence on the Savior. It is experienced by trusting in Jesus, to whom we are linked by this proverbial yoke, as he calls it here, and from whom we are continuously learning and growing. And so if you're saying today, "Pastor, I feel so overwhelmed with life, I desperately need a rest," then the answer may not be in taking a day off and ceasing from work. The answer for real Sabbath rest is found in a submitted relationship with Jesus Christ and a clinging to him, and more deeply learning to trust him. You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, we learn that the seventh day of creation pointed forward to a far greater day. When it says there, "So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God." It's an incredible passage if you read the chapter. That's verse 9. And the text there, we don't have time to get into this whole text, but the text raises the question, how then do we enter this rest? If this is so incredible, to have the Sabbath rest, how do we enter it? And the whole story of the Bible is that we cannot provide our own rest through obedience, through keeping commandments. We keep failing. And so since we cannot attain this rest by our own behavior, we need someone to provide this rest for us. And so the writer to the Hebrews warns us, don't be like the Israelites who failed to enter God's rest because of their unbelief. You see, our unbelief can keep us from entering God's rest even today. And so it says there in verse 3, for we who have believed enter that rest. See, we cannot reach it by keeping the law. We cannot find this rest by being good people. We reach it by faith. We reach it by faith, and then the whole New Testament affirms that we can never enter the Sabbath rest that makes us right with God and affords us the peace of God by our trying to be a better person. It's not going to happen by being more religious. It's not going to happen by church attendance. It's not going to happen even if we were to keep a 1 week or a Saturday or Sunday Sabbath day. It's not going to happen through any of those things. The true Sabbath rest is only caught by faith, received by faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. It is by believing, by faith. And friends, even after we come to faith in Christ, even after we take that step in our lives and we put our faith in Jesus and we submit our lives to Him, we must continue to exercise faith. We don't just believe once and then stop believing. You see, there is only one door to Sabbath rest, and that is the door of faith. Anyone who puts faith in God's promises can experience Sabbath rest even today. Let me give you a personal example. You know, I've had some days, even as of late, where I did not experience rest. I mean, I rested because of bad back. I've been resting. I had to rest, but I didn't necessarily experience Sabbath rest. I had some anxious days. I had some worrisome days. And the Lord impressed on me a simple Bible verse as I was reflecting on the Psalms the last few weeks. And I came to Psalm 37, verse 5, which captivated my attention. It says, a very simple verse, it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. Commit your way to the Lord, trust, put your trust in Him, put your faith in Him, and He will act. And so whenever I've had moments where I felt overwhelmed or worried or agitated, I would recite that Bible verse. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. And I would receive that promise. I would believe that promise by faith that God will act. He will act. Maybe not in my time, it's going to be in His time. It's going to be in His way. And so every time I put my faith in this promise, the peace of God visited me. It kind of washed over me. Sabbath rest would enter my heart and mind simply by believing in this promise of God. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Have you experienced that? Now, granted, it keeps disappearing. Sabbath rest keeps disappearing in our lives. Amen? I mean, we captivate it, we have it, and then it goes out the window again, which means that you then have to go back to believing again and again and again. And I had to go back to reciting this Bible verse again, not just reciting it, but actually believing in its promise. But I want to say to you, there is a day coming when Sabbath rest will not dissipate. It's going to stay and will always be with us. The seventh day of creation and the literal Sabbath day of the Old Testament pointed to a future rest, a rest that we can enjoy today already because of Jesus who opens His arms wide to us and invites us to come to Him. But then there is this ultimate Sabbath rest, which will be consummated when Jesus returns and we will live in perfect peace in the new heaven and the new earth, where all who belong to Jesus will enjoy Work without stress. We're still going to keep working. We're going to be active. Work without stress. Hearts without sin. Minds without fear. Eyes without tears. Bodies without fatigue. It's going to be incredible. Do you believe it's coming? Now, one question yet, how did Jesus secure our Sabbath rest? What did Jesus accomplish so that we can already experience the Sabbath rest today, and one day we will experience it perfectly? Jesus completed, another C word for you, Jesus completed all that was necessary for us to enter his rest, didn't he? God on the seventh day finished creation and he rested. Jesus on Good Friday cried out, "It is finished. It is finished." And thereby he accomplished our recreation so that we could enter his Sabbath rest even today. And so Jesus, by coming into this world, by living a sinless life, by providing the sacrifice to pay the ransom for your sin and mine, by dying on the cross, giving himself for us because he loved us, rising again on the third day to guarantee our Sabbath rest as a son of God who says to you today, "Come to me, I will give you rest." He completed all that was necessary for us to have and experience Sabbath rest. And today, as you believe, you can have this rest as you put your faith in him. And one day we will experience uninterrupted Sabbath rest at the consummation of Jesus' return. And we look to that day, don't we? We pray Maranatha, which is a word that says, "Come, Lord Jesus." And one day this is going to be over. We're either going to end up with a disease or have an accident or a heart attack or something, and we're going to leave this world. It's a reality. And one day Jesus will return, and he will make all things new. We look forward to that day.
If you'd like to learn more about Grace Baptist Church or to join us in person, you can go to www.gracekelowna.com.